Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok, and this is another edition of Star Wars Ranked. And with me again is Joseph Scrimshaw. Hello, sir.
I am so happy to be with you, but far away. That sounded mean. I didn't mean it to.
Don't want to be close to you, Smith.
I'm happy to be emotionally close to you, but physically safe.
This has been quite a interesting journey recording remotely, and we're so thankful that we get to record remotely with technology where it is. It would have been difficult to do this even 5-6 months ago with some of the tech, advancements recently, including the Star Wars Show and Tell. But Joseph, we are having fun. It's like we're in the Force. We have to feel each other out through the wavelengths of the universe when we're talking here.
Yeah, absolutely. I close my eyes and I can call out, and there you are. Ken, what's your favorite action figure?
Are you going to speak now? Am I going to speak now? Who talks first? You talk first. So we are going to have fun. We love doing these Star Wars ranked figure editions. This started as kind of a fun lark, the Power of the Force 2 line, the mid-90s big buff figures. And then we just have decided just to keep on going because it's been a lot of fun. And as we talked about in last week's edition, Joseph and I go through, you know, you look back at our life the last 25 years, really even more going back to the Kenner line, but back to the mid 90s when, Hey Figures were on the shelves again. Some lines we have all of them. Some we've barely touched, including last week's. And I thought, all right, are we going to keep going? Should we press pause? You know, Clone Wars is so popular right now. Should we grab that headline? Then I realized that was the next line, Joseph. The Clone Wars figure line, which came out in 2008 and ran to 2013. This is an interesting line. And I don't know about you. I own zero of them. What about you?
I have nothing, and it breaks my heart. I didn't buy any of them at the time. I haven't picked any up at conventions. I almost picked one up. We'll talk about that. The closest I got, a very small line that we haven't talked about, is the action figures that they did for the Gennady Tartakovsky original Clone Wars animated series. And I did pick up a few of those, and I liked them, but they were so animated and so stylized that I think that made me a little bit not as excited for, oh, are these based on the animated show?
Yeah, I am like you. I would make fun of them. I'd walk through the aisles and I'd be like, what are those silly things? Look at that. Look at that art. And this is probably the state of where the Clone Wars were as a show and a movie in our hearts during 2008. Right, Justin? I mean, you saw it in the theater. I didn't even see the Clone Wars movie in the theaters. I was like, I don't know. I might be out for a little bit. So I'd walk through the aisles and be like, look at these silly cartoon toys. Were you anywhere near my horrible state of being on the figures then?
I think I wasn't like rejecting them or thinking that they were bad. I think there was definitely like a couple of the animated like expressions of Anakin and Obi-Wan that I thought were like a bit much. And even looking at this in detail for the podcast, there are a couple of Obi-Wans like, I want that. And there are a couple were like, all right, I get that he's trying to have a mean face, but damn. I think the thing for me is, as I've talked about many times on Force Center, I was really mixed on the Clone Wars movie. I didn't have cable and thought, I'll catch up with Clone Wars, the animated show, on sometime. I'm not sure about it. So I think that there was, I liked seeing them, but I think that for me, there was a weird detachment. 2008 through 2013 was a time where I wasn't actively watching Clone Wars. I didn't have a ton of money for figures. And I think I felt overwhelmed when I would see all of the different clone troopers and a few of the characters that I didn't know from Clone Wars looked cool, but I didn't know them. And I think it was one of the times where I felt like a little strangely alienated from Star Wars, like separated from Star Wars.
That's interesting. I don't think you're wrong at all there. I think that might have been part of my defense mechanism of not immediately getting into the show. And then I got into it sooner than you did. I think I had a cable package and was watching, but it was like, it wasn't the second or third season. So that's about 2010, 2011 era that I was into it. And by then, collecting figures wasn't high on my list of things to do. So that's our journey to get to this point. But then, Joseph, without a doubt, you pick up the love of Clone Wars and just kind of race through the series when you're able to stream it. I've been did the rewatch and season 6 comes out and all. And now with season 7, I'm feeling the Clone Wars vibe and have for a few years now, looking at this line and trying to pick it out, just going through what grabs us off of a monitor screen. I am kicking myself for missing some figures. I want everything that's on my list. I do not own everything that's on my list. I think I might own soon.
Yeah. I feel both lucky and scared that some of the ones I want are really expensive, because I was making this list at about 1 a.m. last night with a whiskey and some buttons might have gotten clicked otherwise. Like it was a danger. Yeah. Before we fully get into the list, I will say for people who maybe haven't heard my Clone Wars journey, seeing the movie in the theater for the first time was a low point for me in Star Wars. I love the movie now, but reconnecting with this when I streamed it is one of the highest points for me as a Star Wars fan, going, wow, I knew that people said Clone Wars was good. I didn't realize it was this good. And seeing these figures made me feel like a kid again, of just that utter thrill of, oh, wow, I love that character. I had no idea there was an action figure of that character that I could take my love of that character and have it be real in the physical world with a little piece of molded plastic. Seeing some of these figures, it gave me some of the biggest sort of just a little kid chills as a Star Wars fan that I've had in a while.
I love that, man. That's great. Yeah, your journey proves that even veteran fans like us, whatever that means, can, you know, reconnect with things, rediscover things, discover things for the first time in Star Wars. That's how big the Star Wars galaxy is, and I love that there. So with that said, I'm taking a deep breath because we got some fun stuff to talk about here, Joseph. We are going to begin our list, counting down 5 to 1. We'll have some honorable mentions in here as well, and we're going to begin, sir, with your number 5.
My number 5 is a character that I mention quite a lot. I love this character in Clone Wars, and I did not know that there was an action figure, and it made my heart glow. My heart was glowing for Embo.
Yeah.
Embo, the Kyozo bounty hunter. I've gone on and on about him on other episodes of Force Center. He's just, to me, he's just the perfect ideal of a bounty hunter. He sounds cool with the deep alien voice. He looks kind of like a badass, like with that weird kind of frowny face. But then he's just also got all of these bits of the way his armor works, the way his weapons work, that just fires your imagination. It's that tip of the iceberg storytelling of like, what's his whole deal? Flipping and riding speeders and shooting and throwing his hat in this action figure. It captures everything. He's got the cool bowcaster. He comes with 2 knives. He's got his giant hat that you can take off his head and, in theory, throw around. I mean, not as accurately as Embo himself, but I mean, this is just this action figure goes to some of the more highfalutin ways that we think about the value of action figures, right? Because they're a symbol, right? The same way with many things we love, we want a flag for it or any memento to make this conceptual idea of physical reality. And the idea that here's a physical reality of Embo makes me so happy. He's got 14 points of articulation, which I would think, honestly, it sounds like more articulated than I feel as a human. This is the last thing I needed to say about Embo.
1 a.m. whiskeys because you're on fire today, sir.
I wanted to share Jedi Business, where we do our research. Shout out to that great website. Has this to say: Embo's hat can be plugged into a small hole on the top of the head where it stays attached quite nicely.
Quite nicely. It is so. We're going to probably say this a lot in this discussion today. It's super detailed. And this is what I don't remember when I would see these on the shelves. I think it was this animation thing of like, I'm not sure what about that cartoon Star Wars I'm seeing. Again, even a fan like myself, you have to allow yourself to grow and see things again for the first time. I'm seeing this Embo figure, the colors, the yellow on the main part of his outfit, this kind of metallic gray of his shoulder plates, his green outfits, his green arms. It's popping. It's so vibrant and detailed, and the cloth little cape around his waist. I mean, this is worthy of a shelf on display out of package.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is a you need two, right? One to keep in the package in the cool pose, and then one to just be able to turn around and around in your hands and study.
Study Embo, and yes, we know each other pretty well as Star Wars podcasters and pundits. I saw Embo and I said, that's reserved for Joseph.
I appreciate that.
A great start to the list. Your number 5, Embo, the bounty hunter who keeps on going. He shows up in little storytelling later on. An interesting character indeed. If you love bounty hunters, an underrated one indeed. My number 5. Is a character that I really do love in Clone Wars. I love that they have. I love that they plucked him out of essentially behind the scenes in New Hope and just made him into this really interesting layered character that's doing his job and kind of a little grumpy about some of the Jedi tactics, including Anakin. And that is Wolf Ullaren, this 2009 figure from collection number 7. Joseph, this is one of the ones that I think add to cart is in my future. It's got Wolfie Larn, who, of course, as we all know, went on to work for the Empire and in the Security Bureau and is in the New Hope and that white outfit sitting there in the Death Star meeting that goes awry. He's there in his Republic outfit, looking great, younger hair, that mustache. Ooh, he's looking Errol Flynn right there. But he's got a little table there, like a little communication table with a hologram. And the hologram is Obi-Wan Kenobi on the little hologram. And the way they have it set up so well, again, shout out to Jedi Business. We don't know them. We don't really have any connection with them, but we always use their great website. So shout out to them. And they've got it set up in the photo where Wolfie Larn is kind of leaning over like he's listening to Obi-Wan. But because of the way his eyebrows are on this figure, it's like he's like, I'm dubious. I'm dubious about what Kenobi's saying. I can't believe, like, Wolf by himself is great enough. It's that kind of detail of a figure. You put this holocom table, you give me a hologram, I'm sold. And I love you, Larn. I love how they use the character in all the Star Wars storytelling leading up to the events of New Hope. And I think I need this figure.
This is pretty amazing. This is such a great pick. He's such a detailed character. And what I love about Wolfie Larn is captured in this figure as you described it. Because when you see him in the Clone Wars, he almost, especially in the early episodes, he almost comes off as this fun comic foil, this kind of, stiff guy who's like, oh, the Jedi are making their weird choices again because they're Jedi. But then you track from that, like, kind of a stiff upper lip, straight person, British guy, and go like, oh, well, yeah, that's the guy who'd go like, yeah, I'm glad the Jedi are dead. And let's put our boot on the neck of the galaxy. Yeah, I'm totally down with the Empire. We're the legitimate government. Like, it tracks so well. And you're right. He looks cranky. He looks like whatever Obi-Wan Kenobi is telling him, that Anakin went and did what, he's just like, oh, geez.
I hope I can join the Internal Affairs Division of the Empire and investigate those constant problems with my new Empire. Yeah, this is a... great little figure, and a good start to my list, I shall say, because it inspired. This is the one that I'm scrolling. It's when you bring up Jedi Business, it's like one of the first ones that pops out to you. And I was like, oh, wait, I think I misunderstood this line.
Yeah, I think I need this. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of cool looking Imperial figures going back to just the Imperial officer in the original Kenner line. But that this table gives him a narrative as an action figure. You know, that's what's so cool about it, is he's doing the thing that he's does.
Yeah. He's doing the thing that he does. That's the way to say it. So that is the start to my list, number five, which means, sir, we're up to your number four.
My number four. This list was very, very hard. But my number four, I had to give a shout out to the character and the episode, and it is Jar Jar Binks. It is the Jar Jar Binks from a specific episode. That's one of the things that I love about this line. I love specificity in action figures, and I love that some of these are like, oh yeah, that's this character from around this season, but then other figures are, it's from this exact episode. And this Jar Jar is from the episode Bombad Jedi, which I have a complex relationship with. I'm pretty sure I saw one episode of Clone Wars on repeat when I was performing on a cruise ship, and it was late at night, and I had like a delivery, a room service burger and a slice of apple pie, and like, I'll give it a shot. And then it was, I remember there had a lot of Padme, and it had Jar Jar being goofy. And I was like, well, maybe I'm not missing a lot. And I rewatched that episode, and it is absolutely, it's early on, it is absolutely a ton of Jar Jar slapstick. But it's got such great heart, looking at it from a different perspective. It's Padme trying to do important political things. There are some kind of harsh jokes against Jar Jar from 3PO, from Padme, and from Palpatine. All three of those major Star Wars characters burn Jar Jar in this episode. But then what he's doing is this great Star Wars storytelling tradition of, he's just being brave. He has no weapons, but he's pretending to be a Jedi to save people, and he's being shot at, and there's the real threat of death, and it's kind of played for slapstick. But then you look at it from the other perspective of like, that's just so incredibly brave for him to go out and pretend to be a Jedi. And that's what this figure is about. He comes with the nice soft cloak Jedi robe. He also has a hard tie that you can plug in. And just as a figure, he's well sculpted. He looks a little like, oh, no, what have I done? What have I got myself into? Yeah. I've never owned a Jar Jar figure to my recollection. I might have had one back in the Phantom Menace days. But this is the first Jar Jar figure I saw where, like, damn, I want that Jar Jar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then this purple, the tie, the purple with the white design, I know I'm repeating it. It just pops, man. I'm not a fashion designer. I don't know a lot of fashion phrases, but it pops is what I know and what I gravitate to. And the cloak, everything. Yeah, you're right. This is, I think I have the Phantom Menace Jar Jar, right? Everything else I might have, I would maybe have gotten ironically. This is like, oh, yeah, I need a Jar Jar figure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have one where he's eating Pez or something. Yeah. Right. I think I have one disturbing Jar Jar set. But yeah, this is my Jar Jar. He's noble and brave and a little bit silly.
Noble, brave, a little bit silly. That is it. That's the mission of Jar Jar. I love that. This is a great pick. It wouldn't be a Clone Wars. Would be a Clone Wars discussion without Jar Jar, because I think the Clone Wars series for a lot of the characters allowed us to spend more time with them, allowed us to revisit them. And sometimes maybe it didn't work for some people. But sometimes it really worked. And by the way, Ahmed eventually comes back to voice the character. I know initially he didn't, but he comes back to it. And that's pretty important, I think, as well. And it's all kind of represented in this figure.
Yeah, yeah. Justice for Jar Jar in his Jedi cloak.
Justice for Jar Jar, indeed. What a great number four there, which means we're up to my number four. And speaking of characters that we're familiar with, but kind of get to look at in a different light, I am going with a character that I don't often list, even though I have a lot of the figures of this character, and they're all that Star Wars cool because he's legendary cool. But I'm going with Boba Fett. And this is the 2010 edition, collection number 32. That's the figure number because there's a later one. And that one's good, too. But this is Kid Boba Fett. This is the part of the line, part of the arc where you get to go. Because there is the Rise of Boba Fett one, and there's a lot of figures in that one later on. But that's why I'm picking this specific one in 2010. And there's just something I love about it. He's got kind of Mando armor on. He's got the blasters. By the way, you know, like a 13, 14 year old roaming the galaxy with this many blasters. I don't know about this, man. This is fierce. He's got that real, really capture like Daniel Logan's like furrowed brow. They do that well on the show, and they do it well in this figure. Again, we talk about it highly detailed, and the way kind of you compose it, it's a little bit like an old Western guy. Like he's, you know, and he's got the jet, you can get the jet pack. You can put the jet pack on and do that. And that's fun to see without the Boba Fett we know with the Mando armor, gifted or appropriated or not. One day I think find out that whole story. But he looks like an old Western cowboy. Like he's in town, like he's ready to draw down. And I just like it. You talk about these figures. You look at his face, you go to the real close up shot, like, He has a lot of reasons to be angry. And when you dive into the character of Boba Fett, which this series did so well, like, okay, you can see where he's coming from. Doesn't mean we have to like where he ends up, but I think it all is in this face, in the eyebrows, the grimace, the pain, the pissed off nature. I am teenage Boba Fett, and I ain't happy about it. So that's why it's on my list at number four.
That is a great one. I'm so glad you picked this one. I'm looking at the picture of the face, and yeah, it is molded perfect. He's got that angry 90s hair. and he looks, I know he's sculpted after the appearance in Clone Wars animated series, and it really works, but he looks like that infamous moment from Attack of the Clones where he is unhappy about Obi-Wan showing up in the famous behind the scenes story. Yeah. Of Daniel Logan not being sure what kind of face to make, and Ewan McGregor leaning down and saying, "Pretend I just farted."
Yes.
He's got that look on his face. And you're so right. This great Jedi business pose for the action figure with the kind of one hip out and in the other hand extended. He really does look like he's about to do a fast draw. Captures everything great about Boba Fett. One of the main things I love about Clone Wars is it gets to dive into what was set up by Attack of the Clones of, you know, well, what are the ramifications of when Jedi have to take actions? And, you know, what does it do to Boba Fett to see his father taken down by Mace Windu? And it makes that character really compelling and really interesting to me.
Yeah. And this face, going back to this face, this is the face that you understand when he says, "Get him, Dad," in Attack of the Clones. This is the guy.
Exactly. Exactly. Get him, Ken. Buy him on eBay.
Oh, hovering over that. Add to cart. I have enough problem with Legos or Lego sets. All right. So get that Boba Fett for your collection. My number four, which means we're up to your number three.
My number three was probably not a surprise. It is the one character that I saw at a convention and considered briefly purchasing, but didn't go through with it, which I'll talk about, and that is the Palpatine Darth Sidious, the Clone Wars Darth Sidious. I love Palpatine Darth Sidious. We both do. And this character, this action figure, is such a different take on it. Like, that's what's interesting to me about this line is, like, some of them definitely look like, oh, that is for sure the animated version of the character. But, like, honestly, that Boba Fett, I'd accept that as just, like, from Attack of the Clones, you know?
Yeah.
But this Darth Sidious is totally unique and totally different from any other Sidious Palpatine action figure because it's entirely animated. And there's something about those proportions that make this figure extra cool because it's not the way the character could look in live action. Like the way he's just like thin, like an evil, wasted little wraith. And then his hands are a little bit bigger than his body and they're sticking out of that cloak. And the way the actual hood is draped down kind of super low over his face. And he's like, he's just much more like expressionistic, like a cartoon is. And it makes him really, really awesome looking. And it captures the evil spirit of Sidious. So that's basically the reason I love this particular figure.
Yeah, and I want to hear the story and why you didn't get it in a second here, because this is a must-have, man. This is must-have for Palpatine, much like I think that's a necessary Boba Fett figure in collecting Palpatine figures, which I indirectly do. I think I collect Vader figures more. I have Vader figures from several different lines. Palpatine, though, you know, it's like, hey, I love Palpatine. We talked about this recently. You know, it's kind of a boring design, old man in cloak, like the Kenner figure, the Mailway one. Like, I mean, you're happy to have it, but like, okay, it's an old man with a walking stick. All right. This is already, I gotta say, man, one of my favorite Palpatines out there. You're right, it captures the duality of Palpatine Sidious with that close-up mask. It's really, really sharp.
Yeah, and the Jedi business description is talking about how when you have the figure in your hand and you look up his hood, you can really see that his whole face is sculpted under there, and he's legitimately in the shadows with that great hood.
Would you call him a thin waisted evil waif? What you
call like a wraith, you know, like Lord of the Rings, you know, like it feels like he's just this evil presence, like barely a body. He's just oozing evil under there.
He really does look like he belongs in the Nazgul. You're right in this particular figure. And I love what he's got, the outstretched little hand, and it captures, and you have Force Lightning. You can put on this figure if you want it. But the one hand that's extended, the other one's holding the lightsaber. So this is his left hand. It captures that Ian McDiarmid Return of the Jedi, so be it Jedi weird fingers thing. Where it's like kind of like wizard powers are about to activate. It captures that more than any other figure I think I've seen.
Yeah, it looks like that hand is looking out to just like touch something and manipulate it. To just be like, "Dook, oh, I knocked over your government."
Oops.
Knocked over your government. And the lightsaber hand has like the pinky out just a little bit. Like he's all refined about murdering you.
Ooh, Can we do that? Can we get a t-shirt, a quote shirt? Oops, I knocked over your government.
She, my bad. My bad. Yeah. So my deal with getting this action figure was this is probably 3 years ago. I went with some of my friends in the creators of the Adult Swim show I work on, Tigtone, which is really fantasy based. We went to this great He-Man She-Ra convention, and I was really it had a really great dealer's room that had a bunch of stuff as well as He-Man. But there was this huge Star Wars area. And this is when I had, watched Clone Wars and was really into it. And I was like, I bought a He-Man action figure, but I'm going to get myself one Star Wars action figure. And I was trying to decide which one. And I saw this and I'd never seen it before. I didn't know about it. And I was like, my God, that is the coolest Sidious ever. And I picked it up and I was to the guy. I was like, I'll take this. How much is it? He's like, oh, it's $60. And I was like, oh, that's a little bit more than I have right now. $60, but I wish I had, because as of right now, when I was looking it up last night, he's going for $250. Only cool, he's rare.
Oh boy, man, that's like should I grab this stock at $3 a share? Oh, it's Amazon. Wow, okay, we'll have to raise some allowance.
Yeah.
This is great. Well, hey, great story. Great painful collecting story. I'm sure there's other painful collecting stories out there, but that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's brutal.
We'll get you that. That's a great figure. And you're number three. We're sticking with the dark side. For my number three here. Oh, let me find it. I did not get it up on my Jedi business page here so I can describe it in more detail. My number three is from the 2008 line, number 13 in the set. Count Dooku. This is right up above the first couple lines, you see this Dooku figure, and this has got that wonderful Dooku design with the big push broom mustache and the face. I mean, it's just angular. It's Christopher Lee with a little Dooku, little Saruman in there as well. It's got the great cape, the lightsaber, and then, again, I guess this is something I really like. He's holding in his hand a holo, another holo communicator with, and he's talking to Asajj Ventress. He's got a little hologram Ventress. I guess, I don't know, I have to look into this about why I like holograms, because I have the Obi-Wan Lego hut that comes with the little hologram Leia, and it's like, must have that because of the hologram. I don't know what it is, but this is, keeping with what we've been talking about with this line, very detailed. Love how the stance is. He's kind of like ready to strike, but he's really upset at you over something. He doesn't want to lash out completely because he's got some, meetings to attend to probably for the separatists. The Ventress thing just tips to the story of Ventress and how at the time he felt she was, in the palm of his hand, quite literally. This figure is that a depiction of that, of the Dooku Ventress relationship at this time. So like that. And this is Jedi Business describes it again, because I don't have it, so I haven't seen it in my hand. The Ventress hologram looks just like Asajj Ventress in the TV show, which is, quote, pretty remarkable considering that the hologram is just a bit bigger than a penny. So wow. There you go. Penny-sized Ventress in all its all her detailed glory. So, we talk often. I really do love the Dooku character. It grew past the silly name at the time, and one of the reasons why the Clone Wars series really just gives the creators the chance to spend time with this character and introduce many different sides to him, including, yes, the exquisite pajamas we always talk about. So I'm going with Dooku at number three.
Oh, that is amazing. I wish that the line had extended long enough to make a good exquisite pajamas action figure. Maybe there's one I don't know about. I'll have to research.
I was scrolling, man. I was like, ooh, I wonder if. Nope. Nope.
I'm sure there's a custom exquisite pajamas Dooku figure out there. this is another great one. I like that they made this choice stylistically with Dooku and Palpatine to really go for it style-wise. And you're right. That's totally, there's no mistaking. This is Clone Wars. This Clone Wars animated Dooku. Really cool. And I'm with you on the holograms. I love them. I love the variety. I love when I clicked on this and saw there was a hologram. It's too small to tell yet. It's like, ooh, is it going to be Sidious or Asajj? You know, and it's awesome to have Asajj. I think the holograms have a power because in a way you're getting two characters in one and you're getting like a dynamic. You're getting a relationship and it just enhances the figure.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah, it tells a story here, just like the Yularen one as well. So not my collection yet. Keyword yet. That's my number three, which means we're up to your number two on the best list, the list of the best Clone Wars figures. Joseph, what do you have?
At my number two, I had to start cheating because there are too many amazing characters. It is a split. It is Barriss Offee and Undead Geonosian. We're going back to what I love of, you know, these lines where you can get the major characters. We're talking Sidious and Dooku, but you can get characters who aren't huge in the movies but are bigger in the Clone Wars animated series and characters from specific episodes. This is Barriss Offee. If you just look at the action figure, amazing, really cool Barriss Offee action figure. You know, well done, well sculpted, cool looking Jedi, awesome blazing lightsaber. But she is from the Brain Invaders, Geonosian, Brainworms arc. And she comes with three brainworms that you can wrap around her in different ways. So you've got this great character, but it's also, it's not just that this episode is cool. It is what this episode might mean, right? Because yeah. Barriss Offee goes on to be an important character, somebody who is doubting the Jedi ways enough to betray the Jedi and frame Ahsoka for it. This is the arc where she and Ahsoka get to bond together a little bit. You can read lots of it into it. You can read that not only is Anakin maybe a little too attached to Ahsoka, maybe Luminara doesn't care enough about Barriss. And Barriss goes through a lot in this arc, and you can start to go, ooh, did the way Luminara treat Barriss contribute to what happened to Barriss? And that gets even richer when you go into the Rafa and Trace stuff, and it Luminara, who is also not as caring as she could be. So this is what I love for figures like this. Like, this is a molded plastic of a character from a kid's cartoon show, but I look at it and I think about all that because it comes with brainworms. And then just to go with it, because it's from the same arc, and I needed to get this in the Undead Geonosian, right?
It's number one. This shot, I don't know how intentional this is. It is a little graphic. This main shot of the Undead Geonosian.
It is amazing. It's got the wings, but they're all tattered and gross. You got the face with the rotten teeth and a tongue lolling out. This is a horror show, and it's why I love that arc. I love getting some of that horror aesthetic in Star Wars. So to have like an actual straight up in canon, here's a zombie from Star Wars is so cool. And it's got this awesome sonic blaster, and it's just incredibly well-made figure.
No, this is a great set. I mean, again, they're not necessarily, it's not a two pack, right? It's just you're pairing them together in your heart.
Yeah.
And as you should, they go hand in hand. The detail of the wings is what's popping out to me on this one. And then the Barriss Offee is same thing. We're talking about the design and the things that just kind of pop, like the brainworms look like fun. Right. There's an Ahsoka one later we'll mention too, but this is a great little create your own battle pack thing here.
They're great figures, and they're also those figures that you imagine somebody who isn't like all in on Clone Wars or Star Wars going, what's that? let's get into this.
Do you like Star Wars? Yeah, good stuff indeed. And the Barriss Offee character, I love that you brought up the Luminara and Dooley stuff. She's got some issues, Luminara. We gotta maybe talk to her about some of her adherence to no attachment. Might be a bit of a problem. Great choice at number two, a little two-pack that we're creating ourselves there. My number two is going back again to the 2008 line. There's this series of figures goes from 2008 all the way up to 2013. There's a lot of them, but I love a lot of the 2008, 2009 range ones, the details there. The show grew in quality in terms of how it looked on your TV screen, but the figures were there from the beginning for me. My number two is Asajj Ventress, not a hologram, Asajj herself. People love Asajj, and as they should. She's a really dynamic, layered character, especially after Katie Lucas grabbed a hold of her. You should go back if you haven't listened to an older Happy Beeps episode that Jennifer did a profile, not just on Asajj, but Katie Lucas and her helping to make this character, which was already a cool character, just make her more real and really contributed to her story going forward. This is you got the lightsabers, you got the cloth cape that just you just feel it. I'm looking at the picture and I can just feel how detailed that is. And then the face sculpt, they really did a good job here. This is the detail of the eyelashes, the eyes, the lips popping with the red, and all the designs on her face. It's all there. And again, in a line that I around this time was when I was seeing it in probably KB Toys. Where I used to work at the mall, they had a KB Toys that was still open and active at that point. I remember just kind of seeing this stuff and I want detailed classic Kenner figures. And this just blows the entire Kenner line away itself. It's so good. So Asajj is a character worthy of a great figure. And I think they delivered here with this number 15 from the 2008 collection.
Oh, man, that is a great tribute to the character of Asajj Ventress, as you described her, Ken. And also, this figure feels like a tribute to Asajj Ventress. You know, Jedi Business has this great feature where you can look at other figures with the same name. And there are a lot of different Asajjs. You know, there's the super stylized Gennady Tartakovsky one. There's a couple that are, like, paired with a comic book of Asajj from Expanded Universe. So this is kind of, in some ways, the Asajj Ventress. The Clone Wars animated series is the main way that we know the character. This is her classic look. In a way, this feels kind of, to me, like that. This is like the Bespin Han of Asajj Ventress. It's like, that's the one, right? That's like the central, that's the image. Possibly controversial in terms of vest versus jacket Han discussion. But. My point is, that feels like this is the Asajj Ventress action figure.
Yeah, I'll take that. Capital T. It's the Asajj. And by the way, not for nothing, years ago on an early episode of Jedi Alliance, we did a vest versus jacket. And I'll tell you what, jacket won. So maybe you're not wrong there, sir. this is my number two, Asajj Ventress. As Joseph just said, the Asajj Ventress figure to get. We are going to take a quick break, reset, and on the other side of this fun conversation, our honorable mentions and our number one favorite figures from the Clone Wars line. Stick around here for Star Wars Ranked.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Star Wars Ranked. Me, Joseph Scrimshaw, are here with you ranking the best of the Clone Wars figures. This great set first hit the shelves in 2008, ran to about 2013. And yeah, you can still get a hold of these figures on eBay and other black market locations and conventions in the back of vans. But it's going to cost you a pretty penny. And Joseph and I were talking off air about just kind of kicking ourselves in the pants, man, going, we should have picked up some of these when we had a chance price to go at like $7 on a shelf, right, Joseph?
Exactly.
Don't let anyone tell you to stop your collector dreams. All right, kids, that's the lesson. All right,
investment.
Yeah. Unlike baseball cards, which that whole market turned to be just a big collection of frauds and fraudulent behavior from card shop owners, the figure business, it's still pretty solid. Joseph, before we get to our number ones, we always like to go to honorable mentions here. You and I were joking via email last night and this morning. It's going to be a lot of honorable mentions, but we'll run through them. And yeah, I did weed some out myself for my list. So go ahead. What are some of your honorable mentions?
Yeah, I definitely had to do some weeding because there are way too many. But I wanted to shout out the 2011 Ahsoka Tano figure for kind of the same reon that I really like that Asajj Ventress. So this is Ahsoka from her outfit that is kind of the second half of the Clone Wars. She's got both sabers, the longer one and the shorter one, and the different outfit. And in some ways, there are a lot of different Ahsoka figures you can get. I have the one that she's a two-pack with the Vader from Rebels with her clear silver blades, which are great. But in some ways, this is like the Ahsoka that we spent the most time with. This is, to me, like the core Ahsoka. And the figure's really, really cool. So she had to be on my runner-up list. Also, Honda Onaka. Hondo, not Hondo. Hondo Onaka. This character, I like him a lot. I don't love him as much as some other fans, but I do really, really like him. And this figure is amazing, partially because he comes with his quacky and monkey lizard.
Yes.
And that monkey lizard's name is Pilf Muck Muck. So look, any any figure that comes with a side figure called Pilf Muck Muck. It's going to be on my runners-up list, but Hondo is a great character. He's one of the great inventions of the Clone Wars that then tracks through Rebels, tracks through Galaxy's Edge. He has earned his place in Star Wars fandom and history. I'm always fascinated how he changes from being a truly frightening, brutal pirate in his very early appearances to a charming uncle who's maybe a bit of a rogue. But he comes here with a giant blaster, a giant machete, and a monkey lizard. What's not to love?
It almost made my list, too. And I'm like you. I think you and I share a similar view of Hondo. I really do love him. I actually kind of like the comedy version that kind of goes later. And you forget that, yeah, in the beginning, he was to be feared. And maybe he always is. Just because you're funny doesn't mean you can't be a threat. I'm all for that. But yeah, that's why the figure didn't end up making my list. He's as a character, is not super high on my list. You know, he's like top 15 and ideal in the top 10s when it comes to figures, I guess. I don't know. I'm just throwing weird numbers out there. So yeah, great choice to be an honorable mention.
Yeah. Great character, great figure. Going along with that, Quinlan Vos. I love the character of Quinlan Vos. I love this episode of Clone Wars that he gets to be really featured in, The Hunt for Zero. He's got a great comedy two-act with Obi-Wan Kenobi, and it's got one of the things that I love in Clone Wars and in Star Wars storytelling, when they have a Jedi character who is really, really different and distinct, and Quinlan Vos is so distinct, and this is just a great figure of him. So he's on my runners-up list for that. Any Quinlan thoughts, Ken?
I mean, yeah, I love the character. I love how he grew out of not just a character in the background, but the fans in the Legends era latched onto him to the point where George was like, yeah, all right, I'll run with it.
All right, you get this one, fans. All right, good call, fans. Yeah. Another one for the love of specificity, Mace Windu. A lot of great Mace Windu action figures out here, but this one really looks cool, looks tough and badass while still looking like Clone Wars animated. But he comes with a Jango helmet from the specific plot line where he is going to be bombed. Now, I was reading the details on Jedi Business. The Jango helmet that comes with Mace, you split open, and then there's a thermal detonator inside, which is not accurate to what happened in the episode. The helmet was clean, not split, and there's a different kind of explosive. But I love that you can just be that sort of pedantic about it. But I love any Mace Windu action figure that comes with Jango's helmet because it's just twisting the knife.
Pair that with the angry Boba Fett figure, you've got quite a tableau.
You got a story there. In my final runner-up, because I gotta include an Obi-Wan Kenobi, there's a lot of great Obi-Wan Kenobis, but I really love cold weather gear. It's you know, we've seen things like cold weather gear, Jedi training, that are like kind of what if figures, but this is, you know, from an actual episode where he goes to a cold place. I love the design of the cold weather outfit, that it's got all of these rhythms with Hoth gear. Got the cool Jedi symbol, and you can take the big hood off and you can look at Obi-Wan Kenobi's facial expression when he's very cold. And as someone who was born in, grew up in Minnesota, it's a very accurate expression.
They should call the figure Obi-Wan Kenobi Minnesota cold face.
He's Minnesota nice, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah. So that's my runner-up list. There are runner-ups to my runner-ups, but I'm going to cut myself off at five.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you there. So I'll run through mine there. I like, there's a Magna Guard droid that I really like. I love those Magna Guard droids anyways. Great design, great sounds with the weapon and everything. And it's very detailed like the rest of this series. There is the Anakin and the Naboo Star Skiff figure. And I remember I love this episode, and I loved seeing, it was just kind of this weird kind of when you meet like a teacher out in the public and it's out of context and you feel awkward and weird, but you're like, that's pretty cool. Seeing in the episode itself, just seeing Anakin dressed as like a Naboo fighter pilot, you know, by the way, he knows his way around an M1 starfighter there. I just love that. And to see it in figure form, you talk about being very specific with some of the choices here for the figures. This is a great one there. I like that. It wouldn't be a Clone Wars figure list without a clone trooper. I'll go with Captain Rex 2008 edition. Pretty cool, pretty detailed face. Cad Bane as well, popular figure. And I'll throw him and General Grievous. There is an early Cad Bane I really like, and there is a General Grievous Hunt for Grievous character that I really like as well. It's similar to the Dooku, Palpatine, Ventress figures we've been talking about. Final one I put on the list there, it's from your Brain Invaders one. This is the Ahsoka Tano figure. I really wanted to put an Ahsoka figure on this list. There's a lot of good ones. There's a lot of characters in space helmets and scuba gears. there's a lot, but I went with the Ahsoka Brain Invaders one because, again, you get the fun little Brain Invader worm. But her face, I tell you what, it's not accurate enough for me to put it on my list. The sculpt of the face, look at the face, it's great. But I love it because I think I'm drawn to it because it's not completely accurate. And it looks like Ahsoka Tano is like really angry goth girl phase. Like she's like if she'd gone to the dark side or really rebelled. It's really, if you see the figure, look at it. I just love it. It just kind of made me chuckle in a way. So that is my honorable mention list. Any thoughts overall there, Joseph, on the things I was talking about?
That Grievous, I kind of scrolled past him fast. And then when I saw he was on your list of potentials, that might be my favorite Grievous figure just because I love the way he's hunched, you know, in that the way that cape is draping over his shoulder just captures his actual like mood and energy. So that's amazing. The Ahsoka brainworms, you know, the way you described her face is great. I wonder if they're going for the revulsion of like, oh, yeah. But you're right. It isn't even revulsion. It's just like, oh, man, now this. Now there are brainworms. Yeah, there's a great list. I'm glad you included Rex, too, because there, if you're a Clone Trooper fan, there are so many clones in absolutely great ones that some that came close to making my runner up list.
Yeah. There's I've talked about before how, even though, you know, I love stormtroopers and different classes of stormtroopers, I don't find myself being a troop builder when it comes to collecting figures. But, you know, the clones are very important to the Clone Wars series. And I like that Rex there. All right. With honorable mentions completed. And yes, we could have gone on. I'm looking at my post-it notes. You're hearing the pages of my post-it notes. I got a lot of honorable mentions there. My number one, we'll go with my number one so the guests can close the show with their number one, my number one. And I'll tell you, I went back and forth. Do I pay homage to the characters? Again, I love the Ahsoka character. Do I make that choice? Padme, there's some good Padme options here. I got to tell you, I went in a different direction. I went with, oh my God, this needs to be in my collection. And what a fun design of a classic character. And I have this character in the very detailed 6-inch scale Black Series figure line. I have that one. It's Jabba the Hutt.
Oh my God.
Jabba's Palace Battle Pack in 2009. They released it. Comes with a couple different figures as well. But this, man, this is from the movie. All right. And Jabba pops up in the show again. So that's why, to me, it counts. It's in, and again, it's in this line, so it definitely counts. But, you know, he's upset. He's lost his son. Rada the Hutt. Stinky. Oh, what are you going to do? Man, the look on his face, it captures everything I love and don't like about the Hutts in the Clone Wars, because there's a lot of Hutts, and a lot of Hutts show up in Rebels, Resistance. Gracchus the Hutt, who's doing push-ups, all those things. It's Jabba, man. And it's got the classic, you know, Jabba color scheme down, and they've really captured that well. It's got the, you know, it's got the hookah, the snackquariums there. It's got a little bit of the throne railing. And again, I have the Black Series one, and that one's wonderfully detailed. I think I plopped down like $100 cash to get that one because I needed it. I needed it on the Jedi Alliance set. I was like, Maud, our show's not complete till I get this. So I love collecting Jabba stuff. You know, I know Jen Land is a huge Jabba fan. This one belongs on our shelves if she doesn't have it either. He's got, his eyes are a little googly, like he's a little wonky. His mouth has got this wide grin, and there's like, you can, I think, adjust it because this one, the close-up photo, I don't know, maybe it's just a different angle in the close-up photo. It's like Jabba's like, hey, you're here. Did you bring chips? Come on, music's playing. Take your shoes off. It's a different kind of Jabba. It's a Jabba that makes me want to go hang out at the palace.
Yeah.
Hang out at the palace.
Yeah. Jedi Business here says, when you move any of the arms down slowly, Jabba's mouth will move.
Oh, yes.
So you can make Jabba smile more.
This is okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to hit that eBay button. This is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. Yeah. I wonder what if the intent was, because he is very emotional in that movie. He's lost his son, Radha. This almost feels like the moment he gets Radha back.
Yes. Oh my God. The father and Radha reunion is only a figure away. I do love Jabba. I'd love Jabba. I would not have thought this would be my number one figure. You know, Dooku, Palpatine, Anakin, Ahsoka, Padme, like I said. No, it's Jabba. No. It's my number.
Gotta be proud Papa Jabba.
Yes, that's the one.
So beautiful and weird. I love it.
Oh, damn, that's great.
Absolutely love it.
That is my number one figure, my favorite figure in the Clone Wars line, which means, sir, we are up to your number one.
My number one figure is once again cheating, but it's involving evil characters or misunderstood characters. So I feel like it is in the spirit. My number one is the Target exclusive Darth Maul Returns Battle Pack. So this has got three figures. I always love battle packs. I love it when the characters are kind of united thematically. But it had, honestly, the characters that I would have probably put at my number one anyway, at least two of them. You got Darth Maul in his very initial, not his very initial return, because it's not the total spider droid legs. It's his big, weird, wonky legs with the big hips and the joints and the clamping feet, not even trying to be humanoid feet. Great sculpt, topless and upset Darth Maul. comes with a great lightsaber, double bladed, but you can separate it into two different blades. So just all in all, a great Maul action figure. There are many great Maul action figures, but this is a super great one, and one that you don't get a lot of other examples of those initial legs. And then also in this battle pack is Savage Opress. I don't think it was these action figures, but seeing action figures of Savage Opress and Maul and going, ooh, I really need to check out Clone Wars. So I kind of got a positive association there. It's a great Savage. His horns are, you know, nice and tall and proud. He's in a cool battle armor. He's got a big, evil looking axe. He's great. But the character that really puts this over the top is the Night Sister.
Mm-hmm.
She is beautiful and horrifying. It's great. I was reading more details on Jedi Business because when I saw the thumbnail, I was like, amazing, Mother Talzin. I love that character. And then I looked closer, and Jedi Business's thought is, ooh, they didn't quite have final decisions, final designs when they made this figure, because it is kind of a cross between Mother Talzin and a Night Sister.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. So she comes with a great blazing red lightsaber. She's wrapped in the red cloth, got the big sort of jutting shoulders of the cloth. The face is a typical kind of Night Sister face, but with a little Mother Talzin in there of just an evil clown, a little bit of a Day of the Dead vibe, the white and the black and green eyes with bared teeth, and then hair and braids with the red stuff in them. And then just to me, the absolute pinnacle, she's got all of the weird floating bits of cloth jutting out, which is what I love about the Mother Talzin design. Like the clothes themselves are animated and evil. And there's something about, like, when you like specificity in figures, a figure like this that is like kind of somewhere between Mother Talzin and a Night Sister, that's really, really extra amazing.
This is great all around. I love that you slipped all three of them in here, because the Savage Opress, you know, unfortunately named as he might be, is a great design. I just, you know, especially after, you know, you were introduced to Maul in 1999, and to see like a different version of the same, you know, species, same family, you know, it was great on the show. And to see it in figure form, it's like almost a G.I. Joe or even a classic He-Man figure. It's so big and bulky, and I love that they capture that. The Night Sister is great. But this Maul, I love, because you're right, those feet, like, I love that he's gone through the different designs, the spider feet and everything. It would make sense that Maul's like, all right, I survived. I don't like being a spider. This version's like, he's like, can I be a demonic ostrich? Let me try this. No, that's not working. I love this idea. Love this figure. Yeah. And Jedi Business says, I love it. The waist is not articulated, which is odd, but I'll say that almost makes sense for me. You know, whether or not it's canon or not, of how much movement Maul had during this point in his life. I like that before we see him now in Clone Wars Rebels Solo, that, you know, he's working on the design of his new body. And maybe some parts didn't work before. I can't turn. This isn't good. I cannot turn. I need something else. I don't know. You know, we don't see a lot of Maul in the laboratory scenes, but I like that headcanon in my head, and this figure kind of captures it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I like that evolution of legs. Like, it is almost his evolution to kind of getting back to who he wants it to be, of like the spider is just kind of this grotesque monster. And then this is a little bit more like there's a lack of elegance, shall we say, that he's almost like, you know what, if you're going to give me this big legs, just, you know, give me a whole horse body and make me a centaur. That'd be fine. I can, you know. But it's, they're so chunky, and, you know, he gets back down to having the much more slim, legs that you would never know. You'd never know, except for that huge, binding on his waist, that he was separated from his lower half, captures the anger and the power of being Maul at this point in his life.
Well, there you go. The Darth Maul return set. You get that. You get Maul. You get the Night Sister. Yeah, you're right. It's so, you know, Mother Talzin, but not. And then Savage Opress. That's a powerful pack of figures, man.
Right, right. And just one of these. And I go back to my being a kid, where you had a relationship with the characters, but sometimes they were only on screen for a second, and your relationship was more with the action figure than the character. If I was a kid and just saw a Night Sister, I'd just be like, that's so cool. That's so amazing. I need to know everything, you know, and they just capture that magic.
All right. So, you know, while I went online here, you know, you can on eBay right now, I'm seeing $49.99 for this battle pack. That's, you know, you cut back on some frozen pizzas, Joseph, you might be able to make this happen. Oh, plus almost half that price for the shipping. Yeah, that's how eBay gets you, right? But it's out there. Yeah. Oh, there's some other. Oh, God. Why did I do this? Why did I do this to myself? Oh,
click away. Click
away, indeed. Oh, it's a nice display box, too. Oh, boy. All right. That is a great choice for your number one. What fun today. I did not expect this Clone Wars figure line to be this fun to talk about, man. But then we brought it up and it pops. And that's kind of like the show. I think that's kind of like the show with your journey, Joseph, with the movie being a low point and growing into it. And then and me kind of going, all right, it's got some space fighting I like. And then it just keeps rewarding you for investing more in the series. And they do such a great job, which is why people love it. And maybe you weren't like Joseph and I. Maybe you got these figures like hotcakes when they were on the shelves. I don't know. Joseph, thanks so much for bringing your list here today. I appreciate it, my friend.
Absolutely. It's always fun to do these figures, and this one was extra special because of the just great journey that that I have had the opportunity to go on for Clone Wars.
Yeah. If you have some Clone Wars figures yourself in your collection, like you said, maybe you got them early and you want to send us some pictures, you can find us on Twitter. Go to Force Center Pod, use the hashtag Star Wars Ranked. You can follow us on Instagram. We are on YouTube. Check out our videos there, including Star Wars Show and Tell and the In Memoriam series. Got a new one coming this weekend, if you're listening at the time of release. And also, you know, a bunch of great Star Wars audiobooks are out there. If you want to try one on us, go to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter and try a free audiobook out on us. You can go to catnapsock.com for information on a lot of things I'm doing, including my new podcast feed, Box Score Heroes. Same passion I have for Star Wars is there for baseball, and I'm launching a baseball podcast feed right quick. And Joseph, they can follow you and go to your website, because you do a lot of things as well, sir.
Yeah. I got a lot going on. You can check out my other podcast, Obsessed. You can check out various comedy albums. That's all on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw.
And also want to point out, we have a Patreon page, patreon.com/ForceCenter. And we each month do a special broadcast called The Will of the Force, where we randomly look through a Star Wars like visual dictionary encyclopedia and talk about the items. And we get a very special one for the month of May. So that's free to all Patreon supporters if you want to support us at patreon.com/ForceCenter. All right. It's time to go shopping on eBay. Star Wars has been ranked.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at Aura.com/safety. That's AURA.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.